We've been looking at the three things that are ours to do in order to maintain our Christian walk, to know Scripture, maintain Christian fellowship, and to pray. We have expeditiously worked our way through the first two. We have come to the final requirement on the list, prayer. This morning, I want to begin our examination of prayer by looking at one of the most common misconceptions regarding the matter. For most of my life, I've been taught that the effectiveness of prayer is linked predominantly to faith, and to the faith of the one praying. How deeply they believe that their supplication will be responded to. After all, there are no constraints on the abilities of the one we're praying to. If our prayers are not being answered, the issue must be on our side of the praying, not on the one being prayed to. I was taught that undoubting faith was the key to getting God to do what we asked Him to do. If I had a deep enough conviction, the mighty power of God would respond to my needs and desires. Faith would be the hand that rubbed the lamp that released the power of the genie to do my bidding. It sounds rather silly when you phrase it that way, does it not? It's not without reason that such things are fervently taught and readily accepted. Our proclivity to seek Scripture, to see in Scripture what we want to see, has driven our theology for millennia. All I have to do to control the power of God is to control my doubt. If I have the ability to harness my uncertainties, I can most certainly harness the ability of God. It is a simple matter of mind over matter. Now, I have somewhat addressed this issue once before, back in May of 2013. I came at this same issue from the other direction, from the faith side, not the prayer side, when we looked at faith and our will and faith and presumption. If you want to examine the faith side of this further, I can point you to the series of messages that you can find on the church website, dated from 5/19 through 6/9 of 2013. Now, we do not commonly shackle the effectiveness of our prayers primarily to faith without reason. There are many scriptures that appear to bear this notion out. However, a reasonable commitment to content and context is all that it takes for us to come to a theologically rational understanding of the enablement of our prayers. Let's take a look at just a couple of the scriptures that are commonly quoted regarding this matter. There are many, but just a few. Matthew 9:28 through 29. When he entered the house, Jesus, the blind man came up to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." He touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." It shall be done to you according to your faith. This appears to be saying that the faith you have is what determines what you get, that there is no other factor. Seems to say that faith equals answered prayers and fulfilled desires. Matthew 21:21 through 22. After seeing when they were walking past this fig tree earlier, Jesus, there was no figs on it, Jesus cursed it. They walk past it again, they see it's dead. And the disciples are amazed. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will happen. And all the things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." All the things you ask in prayer. Once again, we appear to have a one-condition proposition. Have doubt-free faith, and you will be granted unlimited access to the power of God. We can commence mountain-tossing and tree-chucking as soon as we believe we can. There's no other qualifier given here, but remember who Jesus is talking to, men he's been teaching for 3 years. Now, John 14:12 through 15 says this, "Truly, truly," Jesus speaking, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." It's easy to read this and fully embrace the idea that anything, whatever, we pray for in the name of Jesus will be done for us. If we ask Him to do anything for us, He'll do it. Wow, who wouldn't be captivated by this? The only qualifier, the controlling factor, the if to this occurring is our believing in Him. Having faith means having anything we ask for. What a great theology, if it were true. We'd only go one verse further to notice that there's a little more to this equation than believe it and get it. 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Here, two more qualifiers are added to ask and believe, love and obey. Loving Jesus is part of this conversation. It's the causal effect of all that has preceded, and obeying Jesus is welded to the loving Jesus. If you love me, you will obey me. It's just what will happen. This name it, claim it stuff just got a bit more complicated. Loving Jesus and obeying him appear to have some connection to getting what we ask for in our prayers. Time and again, Scripture makes answered prayers a conditional occurrence. With not only faith being the condition of granted favor, but the necessity of righteousness on the behalf of the petitioner being noted as much, if not more than faith. I submit to you that faith and righteousness are not contrary ideas when it comes to our prayers. They are complementary. If we have one but not the other, our prayers are either muted or they are ineffective. All the scriptures that proclaim the power of prayer that faith generates are absolutely true, as are the ones that proclaim God's favor to the righteous. Put them together and your request and proclamations of prayer find a listening ear and a responsive heart when they reach the throne of God. Faith is the engine. Righteousness is the wheel that steers and controls it. It makes sure you take your faith in the right direction. Psalms 37, 4 through 5 says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your hearts. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Delight in the Lord, and you'll get what you ask for. Make him the center of your life. Enjoy who he is. Desire to know him, and he will respond to your request. He will give you the desires of your heart when the desires of your heart are correct. When what you ask for will not harm you. Consider this. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what is good to those who ask? What will he give those who ask? What is good? God is really smart. He knows what's good for you and what is not. No amount of faith-infused prayer can induce God into granting a petition that will ultimately do you harm. He knows when you'll shoot your eye out, and he won't buy you a BB gun if you will. He may do it for another because they won't shoot their eye out. That doesn't mean Dad loves them more. It means he loves you enough to say no to you. Which leads us to this, 1 John 5:14 through 15. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. You know, it's easy to just grab 15 and forget 14. He hears us in whatever we ask. Well, 14 qualified it. Whatever we ask, that's according to his will. We can have confident faith in this. If we ask God for something he wants us to have, something that is within his will, something that will prosper us and not harm us, and Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God knows what these things are, then God hears us. God hearing our prayers is a bit of a prerequisite to him answering them. Verse 15 then tells us that we know that he hears us because we have asked for something that is in accordance to his will. So we know that we will have what we ask for from the hand of God. This brings us to righteousness. Only a righteous man would seek the will of God over his own. A principle that is proven out by his obedience to the word of God, not to his own fleshly desires. And this is not a quid pro quo environment. We don't do righteous stuff to have our willful prayers answered. Our prayers get answers because we are righteous, and what we request is within the will of God. Ultimately, the prayers of a righteous man is this, Father, your will, not mine. The one that always get answered as we wished. Is this not part of the prayer we were taught to pray? Your kingdom come, your will be done. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The prayers of who accomplishes much? The faithful? No, the righteous man. The humble man who confesses his sins. Why? Because God hears him and responds to his prayers. Proverbs 15:26, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. If you feel like God isn't hearing you when you pray, maybe it's because you are too far away from him. Maybe your life has caused him to turn his ear away. Perhaps the only time you talk to him is when you are yelling, "Help, Mr. Wizard, help." The prayer of the righteous man accomplishes much because they alone are heard and addressed by God. James 9:31 says this, "We know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him." Let me put this bluntly. If you're coming to God in prayer with any motive that is not righteous, he does not hear you. As Elijah mockingly told the prophets of Baal as they prayed, "Yell louder. Maybe your God's in the bathroom." All the faith in the world will not open the ears of God or incline them to your voice if your petition is not righteous in nature. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe choosing not to hear a selfish prayer confines his wrath. Maybe he steps away from questionable petitions so that his anger will not be kindled. But God does step towards those who pray to him with a pure heart and with a clean motive. Psalms 145:18-19. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Those who come to God with truth in their prayers will cause God to come to them. He will answer their prayers in two ways. He will give them what they desire, and he will hear their cries for help and save them. Give you what you want and give you what you need. The prayers of a righteous man apparently do accomplish much. You get what you want and nothing you don't. Once what you want has been changed by the righteousness of God. Why is this so? It is simple logic. Zechariah 7:13. This is God addressing the situation. "And just as he called and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts." It's simple. God is saying, if you want me to hear you, then hear me. Psalm 66:16-20. A beautiful set of verses. "Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried out to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regarded wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me." Extol means received it with celebration. David begins this with a proclamation of what God has already done for him. For his soul, for the things that really matter. He stopped and he recognized it. "In the past, when I turned to him with prayer, he was praised by my words because he answered me." He was extolled. And it says, "I humbled myself. I was honest in my prayer. I examined myself first and was truthful about what I found. If I did not do this, I expect no reply because he doesn't even hear me." It's not the raised voice that makes God hear, nor the adamant faith of the petitioner, because even Satan believes God. It is the quiet sound of a humble and contrite heart that turns his ear to hear. David writes, "I know that God has heard me. I know that he will respond to what he heard in my prayers. I have faith in this prayer because it was made righteous by a humble heart." 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatever we receive from him, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we have kept his commandments and we do the things that are pleasing to his sight." Not a whole lot of faith in that line, is there? but there's a whole lot about righteousness. Righteousness generates a humble faith that is pleasing to God. And that faith is counted to us as righteousness, as Scripture says. Like I said, righteousness and faith are complementary to each other, not competitive. We cannot separate them and expect one to work independent of the other. Offering faithful prayers that are not bound to humble righteousness is a waste of our time, and it annoys God. Psalms 10:17 says, O Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen their hearts. You will incline your ear. He listens for them to speak. He waits for it. So if your prayers are not being answered, maybe that's because they're not being heard. Perhaps it's not the lack of faith that mutes your prayers, but the lack of humility and the righteousness that it produces in all of us. Walk with the Lord and honor Jesus' name with your life before you call upon his name in your prayers. And you will be able to say to all that you meet, come and hear what Jesus has done for my soul. Amen.